I'm at the RIBA for the launch of the reprint of Rod Hackney's book, The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, from 1990. And the book records Rod's work in community architecture back from the 70s. And really that work contributed to the launch of community architecture. And it's fitting that we're in the office of the president of the RIBA because Rod eventually made it to be president. And amongst those paying tribute to Rod and the book, we have the current president of the RIBA.
Yes, I'm Stephen Hodder, RIBA president, but I'm also an architect in private practice in Manchester. And I first came across Rod in 1979 when he submitted his PhD thesis to the School of Architecture in Manchester, where I was in the fifth year at that time. And his thesis was on the work of the great Danish architect Arne Jacobsen. And that ignited an awareness in the work of Jacobsen and an awareness and an interest that has engaged me ever since. For me, the significance of the book, quite apart from at its centre being this notion of community architecture, is also there's a rather interesting anecdotes of when Rod was being elected to president, and indeed his experience post-election, which I've experienced more recently. But I think the other aspect of the book, which I think in this sense why it's so prophetic, is that it talks about the way in which the project team and contractors engage with what Rod calls true clients. And I think that's a very important message for architects practicing now, the need to listen to clients and engage with clients, buildings offer people, and I think that's a very essential part of the book. But what it also then touches upon is the consideration of the reuse of buildings and existing structures, and of course that now is a really essential part, not only of the work that we're doing now, but in fact a source of future work for the profession. So in that sense, aside from community architecture, the book was predicting very much the conditions in which we now practice, and as I said earlier, in that way, very, very prophetic.
Right, well, maybe a few other recollections and contributions.
All right, hi, my name's Ian Finlay, and I work for Rod as the project architect of the second self-help housing scheme in Macclesfield. And what I learnt through working for Rod is that there were no such thing as impossible. It was simply a question of how was the problem to be overcome. And I think other people who've worked with Rod will share my view on this, that Rod was inspirational in encouraging people, both the people he employed and also the residents that he worked with on many schemes, to believe that if they followed his thinking in how they could renovate their own homes, then local communities could be retained. They would retain home ownership. It costs a lot less to renovate a home than it would have done to have had a house demolished and to rebuild from scratch. And the beautiful thing is, having been back to Macclesfield only a week ago, is to walk around and see the schemes that we worked on some 25, 30 years later, still looking in great condition. And that wouldn't be the case if people who lived in these houses didn't have a pride in what they'd achieved. And I think it's his testimony to what Rod has advocated. And he should be, well, this night's fitting tribute to him. And I think that's what I'd like to say.
Would you like to add to that?
Hello, I'm David Gregory. I was one of the first people that joined Rod's practice back in the back in 1974. I went and looked after the George Arthur Road scheme, and then I went back to college, and then I went and looked after Belfast, opened the Belfast office. I think what Ian said is right, and I think what's really interesting in rereading this book now is the sort of challenges that face places like London, particularly as it's building large building a lot of property in new growth areas and establishing new centres. And, you know, to avoid repeating the problems of the past, Rod's book's got some good pointers to how communities can develop and take a pride and take possession of their new homes and their new developments.
Would you like to add to that one?
Thank you. I'm Chris Hesketh. Again, I'm an architect that trained with Rod Hackney. I first joined him in 1985 on my year out and met the residents of Black Road and learnt a heck of a lot to inspire me to go back to do my part, you know, my postgraduate course and really major then in different approaches, alternative approaches to the process of development to community architecture, as it was coined. I then got collared by Rod. I was leaving college after my postgraduate course, and I was going to travel the world for a bit, have a year out, and he collared me on the phone and said, no, come up to Stoke-on-Trent, we've got a brilliant housing scheme out there, you'd love it. I didn't even know where Stoke-on-Trent was, to be honest. He said, somewhere between Manchester and Birmingham, the Potteries, you must have heard of that, and I had actually heard of the Potteries. So I met him off the train, and he took me around to this housing scheme and said, look, there's 350 houses here that the council want to demolish. And it was about 1988, and he was just in his presidency, starting his presidency, and the community had invited him in basically for an alternative view really on what they could do with their area, a feasibility study I suppose initially. So I was thrown in the deep end and initially was commuted from Macclesfield a couple of days a week and then eventually bought into the area, bought one of the houses that was condemned to demolition, and we started working with the community and put together more tangible plans, and the council sort of started to look up. It was a hard battle, it was lots of politics in there, and community architecture was seen as a bit of a nuisance to Stoke City Council in particular, even though Birmingham earlier with David had proved that it's and Rod that it would work as an approach, but they weren't having any of it. And I remember the director of housing at the time, we got towards the crunch, and he said, well, I've already compulsorily purchased the majority of these houses, what am I going to do with them? I haven't got the money to deal with them. You'll have to have them, you know, we can have them for £1, we'll transfer them as £1. So then we had a problem of what are we going to do with them? So we managed to get some support from the Church Urban Fund. I think we initially had £250,000, private sector sponsorship from everywhere, which was uncommon at the time. I mean, it's now sort of commonplace, really. But Ibstox and Halifax Building Society were prepared to give mortgages to people that couldn't, you know, where properties that weren't mortgageable. And we got the scheme together. And I worked there and lived and worked there for about 6 or 7 years, really. And Hall Street still stands today. The residents set up their own community housing company, Hall Street Housing, which again still exists. And now Stoke-on-Trent City Council have a different approach. I still live in the area, and they now we just finished a scheme where we've actually done a retrofit of terraced houses. We've done a heritage facelift externally and knocked two houses together, and we've just been winning awards on the mantra of retrofit and reusing, really.
Fantastic story. And just wrapping up, Nick Waits here was telling us earlier that you had great fun going and interviewing Rod back in the 70s, 80s.
Yes, I used to go up and was working for the Architects Journal and went up and looked around all the schemes, and they were just fantastically impressive because Rod was doing then what most radicals were just talking about. He was actually doing it. You could see the schemes happening, buildings being improved, communities being regenerated. It was just fantastically impressive. And Rod has got a fantastic way with words, which is why the importance of his book being republished is such good news, because it's a very important book about a very important practice, which was very influential has been very influential the whole time, but was particularly influential in the 70s and 80s.